Good morning. It's so good to see you all and to have the privilege once again to dig into God's wonderful word, because it's always amazing to be able to take God's word and to read it and then to hear what God has to say to us so we can go and apply it in our lives, because that's the idea at the end of the day. Turn with me please to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we continue with our series on 2 Timothy chapter 3, speaking about perilous times. Now, as we have our Bibles open, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come to you this morning with your word open before us, that we are able to read your word and then take what is in it and apply it to our lives, Lord. What a privilege. I want to pray this morning, Father, will you please enable me to teach your people, so that we can all learn. And Father, I pray that each one of us, as we sit in this auditorium, that we will have receptive hearts to take in and open minds, so that you, through your Spirit, can enable us to help, to understand, so that at the end of the day we can apply what we've learned. As we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "But now know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Then it says, "having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away." So he clearly tells us, from people that has these characteristics or these character traits, turn away from them. Make sure that you do not have fellowship with these people. And the reason for that is very simple. If you mix yourself with the wrong people, then you're going to end up like them. That's unfortunately the way it works. I've never seen bad friends become good friends because they've got good friends. But I've always seen good friends, I'm talking about good people now, become bad because they have bad friends. The influence is always towards the negative, unfortunately, and not towards the positive. Sometimes we do get it towards the positive, but most of the time it's towards the negative, unfortunately. There's a reason why in Scripture, quite a few times you will find that Scripture teaches us that we should not have fellowship with people who have certain character traits, because these character traits are so contrary to what it means to be a Christian, that at the end of the day, it is actually heartbreaking to have those people in a congregation and to see the destruction that they cause within a congregation and within society. And this is what we find in this passage as well. Remember, it's a prophetic passage. It's speaking towards the time when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, from that moment on. And it's speaking about time periods until the second coming of Christ. Now, till the time that he will return. These times, he says, will become perilous, which means it will become more dangerous and difficult and hard to bear. It will become more fierce and violent and troublesome and distressing. It will become harsh. Right, so this is what Paul describes. He says, so as we see the return of Christ draw closer, we're going to see these times increase. We're going to see these things become more and more And he gives us a list of things. And this is not an exhaustive list. There are other things in Scripture that is also mentioned. We get it in other places in Scripture. For example, it says that there's no place in heaven for liars. Why is there no place for people in heaven that are liars? Because they are doing the will of their father. Now, their father is the devil. That's why they lie. Okay, so Scripture is clear on these things. And it says that people that do these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So people can't continue to live in sin and think that they're going to go to heaven. Repentance means that I'm turning away from my sin. Does it mean I'm perfect? No, it doesn't mean I'm perfect. But it does mean that my tendency is towards good, towards righteousness, towards that which is right. It's not towards that which is sinful. All right, so when Paul speaks to Timothy about these people, and he says, turn from these people, it's because these people, this is what their lives look like. This is what you'll see when you interact with them. It doesn't take long, and you'll see these characteristics just shine through their lives. Okay. Even though they will be sitting in church. That's the heartbreaking part. They will literally be sitting in church. They will profess to be Christians. They will profess to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But they won't know Him. They will not be saved. And how do we know that? Their characteristics shows. Okay, through their works. Through the way they conduct themselves. Through the way they live. That's how we'll know whether they are disciples of Jesus Christ or not. That's how we know if somebody is saved. We see it in their life. Okay. Now, I wanted to finish off the previous time with this first part where it says, and know this, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. And I thought I was finished with that one. And this past week, there's a YouTube channel that I love to watch when I can. And they were handling that specific aspect of this verse. Short video of about 13, 14 minutes. And they were handling this, but from a little bit of a different angle. And as I listened to what they had to say, I realized, whoa, this is so true. I have to continue with the concept of men will be lovers of themselves. Because I'm going to, if I don't share this, I'll miss an opportunity to really touch on an issue that I believe is relevant for the time that we are living in. And it just comes to show, or it just shows us that we are actually really living in perilous times. We are living in seriously difficult and dangerous times. All right, so what I'm going to do is, I would like to look at this, and I call it, there is a secret sin connected to people being lovers of themselves. I call it a secret sin. And you'll find out just now why it is called, or why I call it a secret sin. There are sins that are done in the open. You cannot hide them. But there are sins that are done in secret. And people think that nobody sees them. And it's interesting that the only people that know about that sin is normally the person themselves and God. Because God sees all of them. He knows everything about us. He searches the heart. He knows every little piece about us. Right, so I believe that this secret sin is connected to people being lovers of self. And but I would like to take it from a little bit of a different angle for a moment. How many kinds of addictions can you just quickly think of? How many kinds of addictions can you quickly think of? It's quite a few. I went onto a website, a health website, or mental health website, and I found the following addictions. The one that's number one on their list is alcohol. And it's interesting because in South Africa, I think that is the biggest problem that we have, that we face, and that's alcohol addiction. But they say that addiction to alcohol is among adults and teenagers and children alike. Okay, that's a big one. Then you have drug addictions, things like cocaine, marijuana, methamphetamines, heroin, prescription drugs, the stuff that you get from the doctor. Then there's also people that are addicted to, you know, these little grandpop powders. I've known a few people that were addicted to those things. It destroyed their stomachs, by the way. But they were addicted to these things. They would take bags of these things and swallow it every single day because it's very addictive, extremely addictive. Watch out. You might think you're using it for pain, but you're not. You're using it as a crutch. You're actually addicted to it. If you use grandpa powders every day, you're addicted. All right. Anyway, I remember working with children in the streets of Pretoria when I was still in missions, and they used to sniff glue. You know, and they would go on this trip by just sniffing the glue. And they would have a certain kind of glue because it would put them on the highest high. And then you have what is called nicotine addiction, which means cigarettes, caffeine addiction, coffee, Coca-Cola, that kind of thing. And what is happening is the pharmaceutical industry, they are developing more and more drugs that are actually very addictive, prescribed by doctors, and people get addicted to these things, and that's just it. I've actually heard medical professionals tell me at one stage that let's say, for example, you've got advanced cancer, and there are certain of the drugs that you use, the pain medication, they say, who cares if you are in an advanced stage of cancer, use those pain medication, even if you get addicted to it, who cares? As long as it helps for the pain. Now, that's the attitude. Because we are living in a world of addiction. Around us, there are many, many kinds of addiction. But we don't only find alcohol addiction and drug addiction, we also find food addiction, eh? People that are obese, that eat too much. Then we have gambling and even internet addiction. People that are addicted to social media. They can't leave these things. They always got to have it with them. You can talk to them. And they will, if there goes ting ting, they grab that thing and they watch. You're talking to that person. They won't care. They will watch what this phone says. Have you noticed that? That, by the way, is so rude. Absolutely rude, but that's the world we live in. People don't care, but actually the problem is it's either the starting phases of addiction or they're already so addicted to social media. That's why they can't leave their phones at home and go away without it. There's an addiction to screens. And this is worldwide because they are making sure that everybody's got a phone in their hand. They've got a screen in their hand. So that people can become addicted to this thing. Right? And let me tell you, many people are. Many, many, many. I want to challenge you. Take that phone and switch it off for a week. And see if you're going to get withdrawal symptoms. Then you'll know whether you can live without this thing. People don't realize that we are living in a world where people easily get addicted to things. But it's amazing how they cannot get addicted to Christ and God, no? And the things of God. That will always be on the sideline instead of being the central focus of their life. And everything revolves around Christ. No, they will make sure that everything else, their lives revolve around those things, but not Christ. Not the things of God, things that has eternal value. Now, maybe you know someone. Well, sorry, by the way, there's also shopping addiction, no? People that love to shop, and work addiction. And so you can go on and on and on, and there's another addiction coming out every day. I think if we had to go into the sciences, you know, the mental sciences, then they'll come up with a new addiction and some new thing every single day. Because people are always victims of something. Because people don't take responsibility for their lives anymore. You are always a victim. Which, by the way, is not true. We are always the creators of our own problem. What we sow, we shall reap. So if you are addicted to this phone, I'm using it as a stopwatch. If you're addicted to this phone, the reason why you're addicted to that thing is because you've allowed it. Nobody's responsible for it. You are. And the only one that can stop it is you. Okay. Now the thing is, or the question I would like to ask you is, do you know somebody that is addicted to something? Do you personally know someone? Or maybe you know someone that knows someone that is addicted to something. Because what happens with addiction is it doesn't affect the person, just the person that is addicted. It doesn't just affect the addict. It normally affects the immediate family, the extended family, friends, the community. Actually, it can affect a whole nation. Brother, you can come in. It can affect the entire nation. I remember many years ago when I was still in, it's becoming many years ago now, when I was still involved in missions, I remember clearly how we would sit and in the one-on-one ministry situations that we have with people that come to us, I would sit with people and I would, so many times, I would have a mother sitting with a little child and I would speak to the mother and I would realize that this child has got a problem. You can see it. There's a problem. Or you find out that the child is a toddler or the child has grown up a little bit, but there's a problem. The mother is an alcoholic and the child has got what they call alcohol syndrome, which means that child will not be able to function in society as a normal child. And the reason for that is it's the mother. The fact that she was addicted to alcohol and she was abusing alcohol while she was pregnant with the child. That's the thing, and it becomes a massive problem within a country where so many people are addicted to alcohol. You know what the consumption is of alcohol in our government? Do you? Have you read some articles on that? Do yourself a favor and go and read how much alcohol this government consumes. And you'll realize we've got a massive problem. Massive, massive problem. That's besides the amount of alcohol that's consumed in this country. It's just beyond me. And it's not just social drinking. It is drinking. Really serious drinking. Beloved, this addiction in any form is destructive. Doesn't matter which way you look at it. We've tried to help addicts in the past. I've tried to help alcoholics. Tried to get them to go to a rehab center to get dry. But let me tell you, they leave a path of destruction behind them. And it's only but by God's grace, if God saves a person, that a person can become dry and really become a blessing to society and not a burden on society and a burden on their own family and the people around them. Because the problem with addicts is that an addict will always manipulate and lie. That's what they do. You would think they're telling you the most awesome story and it's all lies. Or it's the truth that has been twisted so much that it's no longer the truth. Because that's what addicts do. They will lie to you in your face, trying to get something out of you, because all they want is their next fix. That's all they want. And with the world that is changing, ever changing, and more people becoming addicts, that means they are being controlled by something. They don't have control of their own lives. They don't have self-control. They are being controlled. Where Scripture is clear that we as believers need to be self-controlled, no? We need to be able to control ourselves. This morning, beloved, I would like us to look at, let's call it a drug, because they say the clever people say that this drug is more addictive than heroin. Now, apparently, if you've taken heroin once, just once, the chances are you can be addicted. Not everybody gets addicted immediately, but the chances are you can take it once. If you've taken it the second time, you're addicted. That's how addictive heroin is. And they say this drug that I want to share with you this morning is as addictive or even more addictive than heroin. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about and where I'm going. This drug is available with a push of a button. It's called pornography. And as I was working my way through this and looking at the statistics, my heart just broke. Because I haven't looked at it for quite a while and I realized, whoa, what a problem. What a problem we are facing. I think it's a bigger problem than alcohol in South Africa. In an article on the 22nd of August on the IOL.co.za website, it is said that child porn or child pornography addiction is on the increase in South Africa. And that's what this report warns. They say that in 2021, just last year, and it was reported by the Internet Watch Foundation, the IWF, and they have revealed that a child is being sexually abused every 2 minutes online. You know, it's sexual abuse when you take somebody's photo and you lust over that photo. Did you know that? Sorry, I'm going to speak straight out today. Because if I hold back the punches, it's not going to work. It doesn't help. Because this is the reality. Every 2 minutes, a child is being abused online. A child. I'm not even talking about adults. I'm talking about a child, which means in the next 40 minutes, if I preach that long, 20 children will have been sexually abused online. And you know how many perverts would be sitting and watching child pornography on their phones and on their screens in the privacy of their homes. And I call it perverts because that's who they are. They're sick. It's not even a sickness. They are so deeply caught up in sin. I was watching a short documentary from Billy Graham Ministries. And this one guy gave his testimony and he said, and I would like to share this with you, he became involved in pornography, watching pornography. And it starts off with hardcore and then soft porn. It starts off with soft porn, which means it is scarcely dressed little people. Yeah? That's how it starts off. And then, let's say, girls in bikinis. That's how it starts off. And then, with less and less on, and then they start looking at hardcore pornography. And he said that he was on his way to a Christmas Eve service. I want you to listen very carefully. He was on his way to a Christmas Eve service when he stopped to pick up his first prostitute. And he said, I just stopped and I picked the prostitute, and the next moment she's in the car, and I'm thinking to myself, how in the world did I get here? How did I get to this point? You see, because it's an addiction that starts off very, very small. It starts off very innocent-like, in inverted commas. Looking at pictures of the opposite sex or of the same sex nowadays as well. And we wonder why there's so many people that are drawn to all kinds of sexual immorality. It's heartbreaking. This article also says that This is a problem, talking about sexual abuse now of children. Online says that this problem is a problem that requires all of us, regulators, operators, parents, teachers, and caregivers alike, to work together locally and internationally, because this crime transcends a single jurisdiction. It's a crime. To possess child pornography on your phone, or to possess child pornography on your computer, is a crime. In 2016, South Africa unfortunately broke the sad record when this country made it to the top 20 list of most frequent users to a what they call the largest porn portal in the world. They have over 90 billion video views a year on that portal. In 2016, South Africa was under the top 20. Under the top 10, listen to these countries: the United States of America, the United Kingdom, Canada, India, Japan, France, Germany, Australia, Italy, Brazil. They were under the top 10 of countries where the most pornography is watched. This year, the UNICEF Bureau of Market Research, they research young people. And they say that children between the age of 12 and 17 years old, this is the children they look at now, between the ages of 12 and 17 years old, the research found that 60% of South African children confessed to frequently view pornography. 60% of children between the age of 12 and 17. And the type of porn watched gets more intense the older the children are. This bureau found out. And we want to understand why rape is increasing in South Africa. Because remember, if you watch, people watch those things on a little piece of screen, sometimes they want to make it real. Because the screen is not enough after a while. They got to live it out. I don't believe the crime starts when you go and live it out. I believe the crime already started when you watched it the first time and you allowed it into your brain through your eyes, because the eyes are the portals to the soul. You know what was shocking? Is how many pastors are addicted to pornography. Statistics comes through from America. We don't have statistics in South Africa, but from America, the statistics are just devastating. The thing is, pornography is done in secret. It's my phone. And by the way, parents, if you have a child and you've given your child a cell phone, you've given your child a device to watch pornography on. That's it. You're complicit. Child's not supposed to have a cell phone. It's not necessary. We say, oh, no, it's necessary because I need to get hold of my child. I grew up in an era where there was no cell phones. Get them one of those cell phones that goes click, 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 click. You know what? You know those ones? Not smartphones, where you can watch little pictures. Because nowadays, what the children are doing is they are sending naked photos to one another. And by the way, those photos stays on the internet. You know that, no? You can't take it off because it's spread to so many servers that it stays there. Very hard to get rid of these things. Pornography hardly has any physical symptoms when you... You can't look at a person and say, I think this person is addicted to pornography. You can look at an alcoholic and say, I think this person is addicted to alcohol. Because their body changes after a while. And you can look at a drug addict and you'll say, yeah, this is a drug. You can see this person is addicted to drugs. Very hard to see this in a person that's addicted to pornography. And by the way, if somebody takes this phone and they don't want you to see it, parents, if your children don't want you to see and watch and check yourself or their cell phone, make sure that you watch it. Make sure that you check the thing. Chances are they are busy playing with things that they're not supposed to. And by the way, it's not just pictures. It's the way that people speak to one another. Yeah? The way that young people speak on their phones to one another. It's sometimes sexually explicit stuff that they are sharing with one another. It's part of the pornography industry. I'm saying this because children between 12 and 17 years old, 60% of them are watching it anyway. But it's a taboo in the church. Don't talk about these things because, wow, we don't talk about that stuff. And it's true. Among believers, we should not have to talk about these things. Because it's not supposed to be in the church, especially among believers. And when it comes to the parents of Christian parents, then they are supposed to be the watchdogs for their children. The protectors of their children to make sure that their children do not get involved in these things. I know it's very hard. But we have a responsibility. And it's a very aggressive industry. Very, very aggressive. Doesn't care who it destroys. It will destroy anybody that comes in their path. And you try to get up and stand up against the pornography industry, they will destroy you. Because they don't have a heart. It's from the pit of hell. Just a last little thing. They say, according to, it was reported a few years ago, that a certain pornography website only allows their subscribers to publish on their website once they have 10,000 original images of child pornography. So only if you have 10,000 original pictures of child pornography or videos of child pornography, then you're allowed to use that website to publish on it and make money out of it. Sick. And then there are psychologists that wants to tell us that we must look at people that are pedophiles in a different way. We should look at them as in the same way that we look at alcoholics. And this world is becoming sicker as we go on. But you see, that's what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. As we get closer to the return of Christ, perilous times will come there. And that's why when it comes to being lovers of self, it fits 100% into the pornography industry. Because somebody that's involved in porn is about themselves. Completely. Everything revolves around them. They love only themselves. They don't care who they destroy. They don't care which relationships they destroy. It's all about them. Just themselves. It is so selfish. It is so clear that you have to add it in there. To be a lover of self fits in 100% into the pornography industry. And anybody who watches pornography, it's all about self. Myself, the lusts that I have in my flesh, I have to live it out. It's heartbreaking. So the question is, what does the Bible say about pornography? Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 5 and 6. Such a disturbing topic to talk about. But I'm glad we're done with all the foundational stuff. Let's see what Scripture says, because this is for believers now. If you're a believer, this is what Paul says to believers, and he uses specific words that I believe is very important for us to understand. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." Make sure that you put it to death. Everything that belongs to your earthly nature. Beloved child of God, that's what you do. If you want to be victorious over all the things that we see in this world, put to death everything that's connected to your sinful nature. And then he gives us a list of five things. Once again, this is not an exhaustive list. This is a list that Paul gives to the Colossian believers, because those were things that the Colossians had to hear. But then he says, listen to this, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. See those words? What is coming? The wrath of God. Why is it coming? Because these things, these five things, are going to become so clear and so evident in the world that God will have to punish the world. God will have to destroy this because it's an abomination in His sight. You know what happened to people that were sexually immoral in the Old Testament? In the nation of Israel? These were the rules that guided the nation of Israel. You know what happened to somebody that was sexually immoral? They were stoned to death. Why? Because God hates it. And by the way, God hasn't changed. That's why the Apostle Paul says to the Colossian believers, he says to them, listen, and I want you to listen very carefully. Let me read it to you again. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. That's sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. As you see these things increase, know that the wrath of God is coming. God is not going to leave these things. He's not going to just say, "Oh, it's fine, I understand that you are all human. That you all have weaknesses. Young men, I will understand because you all have problems, you know. I mean, your hormones are just running away from you and you just lust a little bit too much. I understand all of that." No, that's not how it works. That's why there's a warning. God's wrath is coming. Why? Because of these things. Beloved, these things are increasing in the world as I speak. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Did God leave them and say, "Oh, it's fine. It's all right"? Yeah, He saved Lot and his family. But He destroyed the cities with fire. Because if there's one thing that God cannot stand and will not stand, is sexual immorality. You know that all other sins are committed outside of your body, but sexual immorality is committed inside your body. And in a believer, if you commit any sort of sexual immorality, you are taking the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit. And you are taking that temple of the Holy Spirit and you are connecting it to a filthy thing. Instead of to Christ, who you have been betrothed to. You see, we've been connected to Christ. The moment that God saves us, we've been connected to Christ. We cannot take this body and these eyes and now make it part of a prostitute. And think that God is going to say it's fine. No, God's wrath is coming. And I want to say it to you in so many words. God will destroy those who are involved in sexual immorality. God doesn't play around with these things. Even if it's at the white throne judgment of God. God doesn't play with these things, beloved, and we shouldn't play either. These things are serious. We have to keep our eyes pure and the marriage bed undefiled. You see, beloved, our sinful nature is that thing that draws us to those things which are wrong and offensive to God. So we've got this battle inside of us. My sinful nature that wants to draw in that direction. And then I have the other side, which is God's Spirit. And these two are standing next to one, opposed to one another, and they are bumping heads. They are at war with one another. I cannot just do whatever I want. Why? Because I am a child of God. And because I'm a child of God, I do what the Spirit says. It's clearly written in Galatians. Our sinful nature draws us to do things which are wicked and unrighteous and lawless and impure and wrong and selfish and evil. But as believers in Christ, we are called to put to death those things which are part of our sinful nature. Put it to death. Don't allow it. Don't allow it to even stick its nose out in your life. Make sure it's dead. The Apostle Paul comes with these five things, these five passions. I call it five passions of destruction. It has destructive outcomes because God's wrath is coming because of these five things. But it's beautiful. If you go down to verse 7, it says, in these you too once walked. Speaking to the Colossian believers. It says, Colossian believers, you too used to walk like this. Those five things were part of your life. And he says, when you were living in them. But now that you're saved, are you still living in them? No. Why not? Because I'm saved. Because I'm living in Christ now. I'm living in the resurrection power of the Almighty God. The transforming power of the gospel has transformed me. I'm a new creation in Christ. Paul says to the Colossian believers that they are brand spanking new people. They used to live in accordance to their passions, but now they don't do it anymore. And let me just quickly share with you, and I'm just going to, this is quick. Sexual immorality. It's also, the word is also used fornication. Eh? Young's literal translation calls it sexual immorality as whoredom. Which means you are connecting yourself to a prostitute, to a whore, whether it's male or female, doesn't matter. Okay? That means you give yourself over to sexual passions. That's a passion to have more and more sexual relations. And when it comes to pornography, it's to watch more and more pictures. That's what it is. And don't think because you're watching a little picture and you're lusting after that picture. Jesus says, if you lust after a woman up here, you've committed what in your heart with her? You've committed adultery in your heart with her. How can Jesus say that? It's actually very simple. You see, the day when we are connected to Christ, in inverted commas, we get married to Him. And the only time that Jesus Christ will allow us to have sexual relations with anybody is when we are married to that person. Then He allows us. Only that one person for life. But we are betrothed to Christ, which means we are connected to Christ. He is now my bride. Yeah? My bride, whatever. My bridegroom. I'm the bride, He's the bridegroom. That's right. So whenever I use my eyes to lust after a woman or I use my eyes to lust after a man, or I use my body to give it to a prostitute, the moment I do that, I commit adultery. Why? I'm connected to Christ. How can I use my body that's connected to Christ? How can I connect it to a prostitute? I can't do that. And then think I'm going to get away with it. Doesn't work like that. Don't fool yourself. Don't think you can play with sin and you're not going to carry the consequences, beloved. I have seen stacks of people's lives being destroyed by pornography. Many, many lives. And by the way, that word, sexual immorality, the Greek word there is the word porneia, where we get our word pornography from. Did you know that? Sexual immorality is porneia, where we get the word pornography from. I'm not going to go into all five of them because otherwise I'm going to run too late. You see, porneia, this Greek word, naturally represents every kind of sexual behavior which is outside of the natural God-given boundaries of marriage. Because that's the only place that God has given us where we can live out our sexual our sexuality, let's call that. Paul says, put every kind of wrong sexual behavior to death as a believer. Do not get involved in it or practice it. But there's a metaphoric meaning of the word porneia as well. Metaphorically, the word porneia also means idol worship. In short, idolatry, no? Which means I'm making something an idol, and it's not God. Because we can't make God an idol. God is God. But I can make something else an idol. And in this case, it's my own body or it's the body of somebody else. And I'm idolizing that body and I'm lusting after that body and I'm lusting after my own desires and my own things at the end of the day because... You see, at the end of the day, pornography is basically making an idol of myself if I'm involved in it. It is to be a lover of self. You're so in love with yourself that you will allow yourself to indulge yourself in all the lusts that you have and you desire. They idolize their own body because they need to fulfill all the lusts of their own flesh. What we have in pornography, beloved, is the idolizing of self. It's self-worship, self-pleasure, self-satisfaction, self-gratification, self-love. It's complete and utter selfishness. That's what it boils down to. Which means it is making an idol of yourself. So how in the world do you think God must bless somebody who's making an idol of themselves and then say they're worshiping God? They're mocking God. They're lying to themselves. And I think it's time that we should stop lying to ourselves. But secondly, the person addicted to pornography is also making an idol of the body of the person that they're lusting after because they are desiring something other than God. And that's also called idolatry, no? You see, desiring and lusting after someone else's body without the commitment of marriage is nothing else than sexual abuse. I am committing sexual abuse even though it's through a picture. Because in my mind, I want you to think of these perverts that's watching these things. What is happening in their minds? They are actually sexually abusing those poor children that they are watching. Do you know that? Think of what's happening in their mind, because Jesus says, if you lust after a woman, you're committing adultery with her in your heart. Every single person that is partaking of pornography, doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter how old they are, they are lusting after that person. That's abuse. It's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. And it's not even supposed to be mentioned in the church. Because it's wicked. It's of the devil. It's the work of darkness. Let me just read verse 5 and 6 again, and I'm closing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, that is sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Beloved, how do we get victory? If you are caught up in the grips of pornography, because it's so easy. If you're a young person and you have been watching pornography and you're realizing that it's getting more and more, it's getting more frequent, what do? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 says the following, just the previous verses. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. There's the first clue. Stop seeking after the things of your flesh and the lusts of your flesh. Start seeking the things which are above. Start thinking about the things that are pure, that are holy, that are worthwhile. It says, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Second, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on this earth. Which means, make sure whenever the temptation is there to watch a picture, to look at a picture or to look at a video or whatever, make sure. And it starts off with soft porn. Watching a movie where somebody takes their clothes off. Don't do that. Don't watch and look at naked photos. It's not what Christians do. So don't put your mind on the things that are on this earth, but put your mind on the things which are above. Verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Count yourself as being dead to the sins that you used to do. You are now alive to Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, we will appear with Him in glory. Whatever you do, whenever you keep your eyes pure, if you do not get involved in these things, you are doing it for the sake of Christ. Because it's with Him that you want to return one day, isn't it? It's with Him that you want to be taken up when He returns to be with Him forever and ever. Remember, Paul says that these you two once walked when you were living in them, but this is no longer the case because you are believers. Beloved, and this is what this table is all about. This is what communion represents. Christ, who took the penalty for our sin, even the sin of pornography, even the sin of sexual immorality, whatever form it might be in, Jesus took the penalty for that sin so that I don't have to be punished for it. And I want to say, is that fair? No, it's not. Why should he have to suffer for my filthiness? For my impurity? For my evil? Why? That's exactly what he did. That's what grace is all about. That's why we look to Him and not to ourselves. Because we know we're broken. But we look to Christ and we look at His victory. And we embrace His victory because He has given us in Him victory over sin. Sin has no power over us unless we allow it. So don't. Don't allow it. But that's what the communion table is all about. Christ on our behalf, because we couldn't do it, took the penalty of our sin upon Himself and He died so that we may have life. So that we may have victory over sin, and sin will not have power over us. And beloved, when we partake of this table this morning, be reminded of that. Be reminded. And if you are struggling with any kind of addiction, that's where we go. In the first place, we go to Him. Obviously, there are practical things that you can do as well. Get rid of your cell phone. Get a good filter on your computer. Make sure that your parents or somebody that you can trust know about your addiction, so they can come alongside you and help you. There are different things that can be done. You can be victorious over this. And if it's gone very far, there are places that can help. Don't get stuck in your addiction. Because, beloved, if you stay there, you will die there. And God's wrath will come upon you. Christ did not come to save us in our sin. He came to save us from our sin. Not so that we can indulge in our sin, but that we can have victory over our sin. That's why Jesus came. And this is what this table represents. Christ, who died for us so that we may have victory over sin, and sin will not prevail over us because of who Christ is and what He has done. And by the way, beloved, that is the power of the gospel. That's the power of God's grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that even though it's such a terrible topic to talk about, yet You've warned us so many times about sexual immorality. So many times You've warned us that Your wrath will come upon those who indulge in it and continue in it. Father, thank You for Your word that not only tells us how dangerous it is and how wrong it is, but also that Your word tells us about the victory that we have in Christ. And as we partake of the table now, well, Father, thank You that we can partake of this table and be reminded that the victory we have is because of Christ and what He has done for us. We praise You, we thank You, in Jesus' name. Amen.